Hey, everybody, welcome to the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humble Beat Enterprises. I'm very excited to be here with a special guest. We have Joe Gibson, who is the president of Gibson Logistics. And before we begin, I just want to say that the Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy is available now as an ebook and a physical book. You can acquire your copy online from barnesandnoble.com and Amazon. And if you're into the ebook space, you can get that bad boy from Apple Books. But Brother Gibson, thank you again for joining me today. How's everything your way, brother?
Man, everything is great, man. I want to thank you for having me on as well. But everything is great. No complaints on my end, man. I'm excited. Looking forward to some new challenges this year and new opportunities as well.
Yes, sir. That's all we can ever pray for. So grateful to have you on. Thank you for accepting that invitation. And before we begin, I did want to give a big shout out to Rommel and all the energy that brother puts into Freight Fest, because it was Freight Fest 2023 where you and I got connected. And, you know, the reason why we're even in a spot to have this conversation now. So big shout out to that, brother. And the funny thing is, man, when I saw you there, walking up to you and the other brother Gibson was talking to you the same time, and he and I already had a business relationship. I was already like booking him drayage freight and all that kind of stuff. I just thought that was a very unique moment pulling up on the Gibson brothers.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, how's everything been since then? Everything going well with what you got going on?
Yeah, everything is great, but you brought up Rommel, man. So shout out to my brother, man. I texted him the other day, and I talked to him about what he has going on. So I know he's looking forward to getting out to L.A. and hanging out with a few people. I think he's doing a reset in L.A. So if you guys haven't heard about it or y'all not in touch with it, y'all might want to get in touch with it. Yo, those resets are crazy. A lot of information. It's basically like Freight Fest in a small room, as opposed to a big room. But the impact is tremendous, because it's so many people show up to these events. I'm usually at a lot of them. It's pretty dope. So if y'all not in tune with that, get in tune with that. Check out my brother Rommel, great guy. Since Freight Fest, man, I got pretty busy immediately after, so far as just like communication wise with a lot of people reaching out, wanting to get in touch, wanting information and stuff like that. So that's always great to be to give back to the trucking community after it has done so much for me and my family. So then since then, just work wise, man, just a constant grind, man, picking up new customers. A lot of people also knowing what type of equipment that I have, they'll send people my way when it's something that they can't handle, and vice versa. I'm always putting loads out for people. So if you're not following my IG, it's probably a great idea, because sometimes I'll put, you know, flatbed and step deck loads out there paying like $6 a mile. You know what I'm saying? And you as a dispatcher, I know you know, yo, that's great numbers, you know? So I just put out whatever it is, and I make it available to those who can handle it if I can, you know?
And again, that's all people can ever ask for, is to be put in a position to be shown those opportunities where they can learn, they can grow, and they can get $6 per mile freight opportunities. I mean, what you talking about? Let me get some of those. But look, for those who haven't had an opportunity to encounter you, and I know you were just talking about your IG, please also include that. For those who haven't had the opportunity to encounter you in the past, can you please give us a brief introduction? At this day and age, specialized freight is essentially how you can set yourself apart, where the average dry van, the majority of motor carriers, they've gotten squeezed out the industry, because literally trucking capacity has been at an all-time high for the last 2 years. You know, so people have been getting squeezed out, but I don't think that's the same conversation when we're talking about specialized carriers, special freight. How long would you say after you got into the industry? I know you had your stint with dry van and even just a little bit with reefer. How long before you switched over to the heavy haul, the oversized freight? Was it relatively quick, or did it take you some time to transition over?
It took me some time, but not that I didn't have the tools to do it. Honestly, I just was comfortable where I was. You know, I mean, I made good money. I always had owner operators leased to me, off and on. So I always did pretty well where I was with the flatbed and stepped that type freight. I kind of was forced to move into the RGN space, a super lows, oversized, heavy haul, all of that. I was kind of forced into it, but once I got into it, I started seeing real opportunities where I can take that to the next level. So of course, anyone that's in the industry will tell you once you get in, it's like a kid in the toy store. Like you just kind of keep wanting the next one bigger, wider, taller, stronger, and it becomes a whole new challenge. It creates a whole new excitement to the trucking industry. So I say that to say, like, you can be in trucking 15 years and kind of be burned out, and then you get into the heavy haul section of it, and then you kind of get re-energized, and it can get you another 15 to 20 years in it because now you start to see real opportunity. But one thing I want to go back to that you said initially, when you right before you asked your question, you talked about people being squeezed out of the industry. It's happening on all levels. It's not just specific to dry van. It's happening in the specialized. It's happening in the RGN. It's happening across the board. But times like this, where a lot of people are complaining, you notice some of us are keeping our heads down and we're still moving. The reason for that, because everyone does good when the season is booming. So that's not a good judge of character of how you run your business. The judge of character is what do you do when things are tough? So people who understand the industry and people who have perfected their craft, we actually like the downtime better than we like the uptown, because what happens in the downtime, it allows the industry to reset and move people out of the way that's only in it for the money, that's only in it because it sounds like something to do and they think that they can run up the hill. So it gets the pretenders out of our way. So those who are focused on truly building, we can actually take things to the next level and grow.
Right. Well, truth be told, man, I did not. That is, I appreciate you for your sentiments, and that spoken like a veteran. Just looking at LinkedIn, I believe it said that you opened your company, you opened Gibson Logistics back in 2007, which means you've seen several cycles already. Like, so this isn't your first time having to wait for people to get out of the way so that you can acquire more market share. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I mean that's what it's about. It's about weathering storms. I mean, you know how this go. You weather the storms. Some are rough, some are brutal, some are just okay. You know what I'm saying? But from season to season, each one meets its challenge. And year in and year out, seasons are going to change throughout the industry. And that's literally winter, spring, summer. You know, like all of those seasons where you have to continue to navigate the market. Seasons will change. Like last year, we had a rush of people who had money to invest and they wanted to get into trucking. These things happen and you have to be prepared. True winners win no matter what happens around them. And for myself, I remember having conversations with my wife about, me wanting to get up the ladder a little bit because I kind of knew that this was coming. So what I did was, I ran up the ladder. I got up to a point where I knew it would be hard for people to actually come and compete with me, not knowing exactly what was going to happen, but I knew that it was some changes that were going to take place. I actually had made a post on my actual Facebook, not my IG, about some changes that were coming in the industry, and about 3 to 6 months after that, the pandemic hit. And I actually put in the post that it was something connected with China. I really didn't know specifically what it was, but I knew that something was kind of weird happening. And if I find that, I'm gonna go and look for that post and I'll share it. But I put that up, and at that point, I kept telling people, I was like, "Yo, this is an opportunity for small businesses to actually flip the table and move up the ladder a little bit," because I knew that whatever happened would impact large companies and create a space for small people. During the pandemic specifically, I grew my company by $500,000 alone.
I wanted that to marinate a little bit.
Yeah,
Yes,
that's
sir.
crazy.
Yes,
That's
sir. And
crazy.
look, are we talking about growing your company in the aspect of adding more heavy haul services? Or are we adding flatbed? Are we adding step deck and the RGNs?
No, we're talking about assets because that's what really matter. I grew my company by $500,000 in assets.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, actual value. And what happens is And I'm not talking about I grew it to a half a million. No, I grew it by a half a million. So whatever I had before, I added another 500,000 to the top of it. Mm-hmm. And the beauty, and I'm talking about just during the pandemic, since then I've made other moves. But the beauty of that is when things are tough, you have to find a way to navigate and come out on top. And that's what make you a strong force to be reckoned with in the industry.
Yes, sir.
I jump on a lot of people's lives and stuff like that, and I tell them, and they think I'm crazy. I'm like, yo, listen, stop taking those if you don't like the price. And like, man, if I told brokers that I would go out of business, I'm saying to myself, I did it when I was in your position. So my thing is, you have to do what makes you better positioned to grow. And if you're hauling freight at the lowest price point, then you're not hauling quality freight, you're hauling quantity freight. And quantity freight is available to everyone. I want specialty freight that requires my expertise, because when I get that, now I can name my price. I don't want to do, like, I'll give you an example. Last year, I did 36 loads all year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 52 weeks in a year, I did 36. But I guarantee you, I outgross my competition probably by double. And it's because they're running 100 loads. Their maintenance is higher. Their oil is high. Oil changes are higher. Like, all this stuff, expenses, fuel, things of that nature is higher. Insurance companies rate you now on the miles that you actually put on the ground. They want to see your IFTA. So you're showing them you're running 100 miles, 100,000 miles plus a year. And I'm showing them I'm running, you know, 20 to 40,000 miles a year. So they're looking at my risk factor and saying, this guy's a much less risk factor. I get better pricing immediately. So the thing is with that, you got to understand the industry in and out in order to understand how to properly navigate, grow your company, make money, and then move on from there. Now, of course, I'm in heavy hauls, so I can afford to do 36 loads a year as opposed to trying to do, you know, maybe three to four loads a week. I'm doing less than a load a week. But the thing is with that, of course, I did other things as well. So like so far as owner operators and stuff like that out there running. So, yeah, no, I mean, the industry is designed for the enriched, the people who are enriched in knowledge to grow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you mentioned also adding intermodal, drayage, out of gauge services. And you're right. You can name your price. That's what shippers, freight forwarders, brokers know about that specialized freight, is that they're going to have to request a rate from a carrier. And if it's a quality carrier, they know that that carrier is not going to be the lowest price. So I appreciate you bringing that up. You mentioned a lot just now, and I'm thinking about wanting to make sure that we at least cover the basics, the foundational pieces of what heavy haul could look like. And you know, we're talking about flatbeds, we're talking about step decks, RGNs. What's the difference between those pieces of equipment, and like, when is it appropriate for that particular piece?
So so flatbed is generally freight that's probably like 8'6" and lower. But what happens is it's not usual to haul an overhyped flatbed load unless it's a tremendously long overhyped flatbed load. Okay. So you take things like, for instance, like the bridges that we build, the beams that go underneath, they may be, you know, 70, 80 feet, right? So It's not normal to have a step deck that would be 70 to 80 feet. But if it's high enough, you'll put it on a step deck and then you'll put sort of like a dolly or something under the back end and have it tail behind the step deck. So each trailer is specific to what it does. But going now, the next thing going to step deck, normally you want to be like 10'6" or lower, right? But you can go over height, but it's not customary that happens. Mm-hmm. Then when you go to low boys, double drops, RGNs, each one of these trailers are very similar, but they're also unique because the double drops normally handle much lighter freight, but it also normally has a much lower deck height. So You can get a mini deck designed for like the double drop way easier than you can get it for the RGN. You can get it for the RGN, the removable gooseneck, but normally the RGNs, they have a much thicker deck height. And the reason for that is because, of course, the more material you can get in the deck, the stronger you can make it to haul heavier, bigger loads. So Normally you'll almost always see the guys that's hauling like a 70 ton or 80 ton, they'll almost always have like a 24 inch deck height or higher. My trailer has a 20-inch deck height, but I'm a 60-ton, which means I can carry 120,000. My beam deck, I can go 130 with it, but it's a little higher. So
beam deck, of the space, beam deck. Talk about that. Like, what constitutes a beam deck?
So you're familiar with the floor of a deck, right? Like, it has wood, it has metal, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, on the beam, there's no wood. There's no outer rail either. It's just the interior rail on the left and the right that's spaced out by 48 inches. So the width of your whole deck is 48 inches as opposed to 8'6" or 9 foot mm-hmm. or 10 foot. So and it's designed for the wheels or the tracks of whatever you're hauling to be the same level as the deck on the bottom of it. So if the bottom of the deck is 6 inches off the ground, then you basically want the bottom of the track or the tires to be about that height, or maybe an inch or two or higher. That way, even if the trailer kind of rubbed the ground at the bottom, depending on what you're going over, the customer's commodity or the customer's property does not rub the ground as well. So ideally, if you're 6 inches off the ground, you kind of want their equipment to be 7 or 8. That way, you know, their stuff is protected. But other than that, that's what it's designed to do. And what it does is it takes freight that would normally be, I don't know if it's, and say hypothetically, it would be normally, well, maybe it's 14 feet off the ground. Well, if you go up 6 inches, now it's only 14.6. If you mm-hmm. take that same piece of equipment and put it on one of those 24-inch deck heights, now you add 24 inches to the height, now you're making it 16 feet. So mm-hmm. with that, that's the difference in having to have a pilot car or a route survey and all of these things that come with hauling loads of that height, depending on which state you're going through.
Makes sense, brother. Makes complete sense. And, you know, whether you're coaching somebody trying to get in heavy haul, what tends to be the starter trailer style when somebody is venturing into that field? You know, what's the basic setup?
I would tell them, in my opinion, I think the ideal trailer for them is to get a RGN style neck on the double drop style trailer. So what happens is it'll have the standard double drop trailer decking, but in my opinion, go with the RGN neck. And the reason why is because most people that haul a double drop, which means they have a rear deck, a center deck, and a deck up front, those people normally put so much stuff on that deck that they're not using it anyway. Well, the thing with that is this. When you do that, you want the neck to be hydraulic because some states you go through will route you sometimes 100 miles out of route just mm-hmm. because your trailer doesn't have a hydraulic neck. So if you have the hydraulic neck, now you can stay on the quickest path to delivery. And then the last thing I would add to that trailer is make sure it's a stretch trailer. Because the thing is, when you're hauling lightweight freight, and when I say lightweight, I'm talking about in the heavy haul industry, form of lightweight, which means you're normally 70 or 80,000 pounds or less, which mm-hmm. is a 40-ton trailer. Well, when you're doing stuff like that, what happens is the freight choices narrow down real small, and then you also have step decks that slide in and steal a little bit of their freight if they can make it fit. So now you want to be able to haul longer freight as well in order to accommodate the trailer to make sure it's productive enough.
Right. And you talk about just the nuances of each one of these trailer styles. Are these trailers adjustable in the moment, or does each adjustment have to be like scheduled and prepared for, in your experience?
Nah, good question. So normally most of the flatbeds, the step decks, and the double drops that open up, they are adjustable in the moment, which means you can go to them and say, hey, I need you to open the trailer up to like 30 feet, and that can be done in 5 minutes. Okay. Gotcha. Now, when you get to the level that I'm on, which is 60 tons and up, my trailer is modular. The 60 ton does make a stretch trailer, but in my opinion, it's not the best trailer to buy. The reason why is because when you're putting that kind of weight on a trailer and you have those rollers in there, the trailer almost always sag in the middle and touch the ground.
Uh-huh.
So with the modular trailer, yes, that trailer has to be scheduled. So sometimes I might take 4 hours the day before I do a load in order to set that trailer up. It's not always that that's the case, but I'm a small company, so I don't own a crane where I can just grab pieces and swing it. So I have to kind of take my time and build it with the forklift that I have. Mm-hmm. Eventually I'll get a bigger one that I can just lift the whole deck and just swing it with no problem, just similar to what a crane would do. And that would cut down time, but it probably would still take at least an hour minimum because you have to get all this stuff set up and then you have to break it all down afterwards. But modular means that I can interchange my whole deck. So it's not just stretch out. Now I can own a beam deck, a standard RGN, a drop side, a perimeter. I could own some of these decks and interchange it with the setup that I have with the neck and with the rear wheels that will pull it. So that's the beauty of modular. Yes, it takes more time, more work, more effort, but it's much more profitable because now I have all options to all decks. I can put a stretch deck on it as well, like a 40 ton, and I can run it like a 40 ton because my trailer has three axles with two pin-on axles. So I can leave the two pin-on axles at home and just run it with three axles in the rear. So to me, yes, the modular deck is gold. Now, the thing with that is, when you have all those decks, they're costly. I mean, on mm-hmm. average, if you're trying to interchange a beam, you know, that might be if your trailer is not originally set up that way from the manufacturer and you have to get it done, that's a $100,000 upgrade minimum. That's start. Mm-hmm. If you have to get these decks custom made, they're costly. A perimeter trailer, if you want to go from a standard deck to a perimeter, you might be talking $250,000 to $300,000. You know, minimum starting price, depending on that trailer and what all is involved with, converting it over. So it's costly to play this game. And that's kind of why it becomes a new venture for you for like 10 or 15 years, simply because you're always trying to save up or position yourself to make the next move. And the cost slows you down because it's tremendous, man. The money we spend right. on this, you know, equipment. So.
Look, you mentioned this earlier. You said that whenever you do power only, it's times when you're doing power only, but you know it's going to be one of these specialized situations. Any endorsements? I mean, we're talking about very specialized skill driving right here. Are the endorsements required?
Yes. So if you're pulling my actual trailer with the three swivel points that I spoke of, you do need triples and doubles.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and then if you're doing the standard, just that 100-foot power only load I spoke of, it doesn't require just a permit for that state. If you reach a certain point where you're a certain length, then yes, sometimes you may require what's called a route survey. With that route survey, that's where the state gets involved and they kind of fine-tune the permit. They may have you have a special pilot car go out and run the route in order to make sure that the route is good to be operated on.
Gotcha, brother. Gotcha. Hey, look, no worries, man. I don't know if you know, but your boy, I got a 15-month-old, and I know how it go. So, you know, we just going to push through because I know exactly what time it is. And if we were doing this an hour earlier, it would have been my side. So, no, it's all good, brother. Okay, look, but you mentioned this earlier about insurance scores and understanding the situation. And that's how you can put yourself in a better position. Are there insurance coverage differences between heavy haul operations versus the normal driving and reefer flatbed situation?
Yes. So in most cases, with a standard flatbed or step deck, those guys normally run like $100,000 in coverage.
Yeah.
With us, we normally start at $250,000 and up. It just depends on what your customer is calling for. So you may have a customer that can work you consistently, but they may want $500,000. Then in that case, you have to seek an insurance company that will write you that type of coverage. I can tell you this, they're going to have a lot of restrictions when you get into that space. So they may tell you that you can't haul certain freight. Then you have to try to find another insurance company or someone that can cover it. So it's just, it gets real tedious once you get into that high dollar freight. Sometimes you may only have to have $250,000 with temporary contingency policies at times where you may pick up an additional $250,000 to get to the $500,000. So mm-hmm. it really just depends on your situation, what type of freight you're hauling consistently. And then at that point, these insurance companies, they want people who know what they're doing, veterans who can move freight, not have accidents, not cost them a lot of money, and allow them to make money. Because the name of the game is make money. If they can't make money with you, they don't want to work with you. So.
Definitely, definitely. They don't want you to continuously cost them money. And are there any insurance companies, any providers that you know, after being in the industry since 2007, that you say, you know what, I like them. They have a solid product and they got solid customer service. Anything that you would speak to like that? And they also are good in these contingency situations where I just need additional coverage for this specific load.
So let me say this. I've worked with numerous insurance companies over the years. A bunch of them were great. I have no complaints on any of them. So I don't really want to get into name calling thing, but this is what I'll say about the insurance, right? My best advice to a lot of people, because not all insurance companies write in all states, is to find a good agent, because that's where you're going to make your money. Find a good agent that can shop your coverages from year to year. Get you the best pricing. Normally, when you're dealing with A plus rated companies, they all pretty much conduct themselves the same, right? So you want to deal with A plus or A plus plus rated companies. You don't want to deal with B rated companies, because there will be a host of brokers who really do high volume freight that won't touch you because of your company. So you just want to get into the A plus or A plus plus rated insurance. And then when you do that, then you'll actually be in a very good space to do business with everyone. And that agent will make or break you, the insurance agent. The reason why I say that is because you want an insurance agent that has good hours. They're actually working during those hours. They're getting your certificates of insurance out when you need them. When you have an agent that take an hour to send a certificate of insurance, that's the difference in losing a load and keeping a load, because these brokers are very agitated already. They may have one driver doing something crazy, and then, or they may have had someone else that promised them they're going to cover a load, and then they dropped off, and now your insurance company is stalling, and then now they take the load from you. That could be a trickle down effect, because you could have had three loads lined up, which is I don't advocate, but some people do that. And then now, when one load cancel, now you got to cancel the next one and the next one, and that can take five, six, $7,000 off your plate for the week. It can turn a great week into a nightmare. So, the last thing you want is the people who you pay to mess your money up, because it's like I still have to pay you even after you just derailed everything that I had. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's frustrating. So, yeah. So, my advice: get a good agent. Let that agent shop you around to some of the best people in the business, and then when you do that, guess what? You can know for sure that if you're not flourishing, that's not the reason why.
I hear it. I think that's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I say that carriers should make friends with their insurance agents anyway, just so that they can understand the game. You know, you got to learn from the people who know. And when you're operating these, when you got $300,000 to $400,000 on the line because you're hauling it, you want to know that you're in the right. So, big shout out to Elisha Petit. That's one of the insurance agents that I feel like I've just had the ability to just ask questions of. And even this morning, finding out that his state is for some reason doubling the amount of insurance that's required in order to get to operate there. So it was, we all know, 750K for that automobile liability, but now out of New Jersey, that bad boy is 1.5 million as of, I believe, today. So that's interesting. And just having that happen this quickly, he and I was already talking on the phone about it this morning. So I agree with you. You want to have those insurance agents that can walk you through and are very knowledgeable and understand the impacts of getting things over quickly, because that is the difference between keeping that load and having to break three, four loads. Because again, I don't advocate for that either, but it happens sometimes. When it's pretty and it lines up, sometimes
It's
you
pretty.
do
Yeah,
it.
exactly. But hey, let me
So,
jump in before you switch on that. Let me say one more thing too.
yes, sir.
Another reason why the insurance agent, because you spoke of having a great relationship with them. One of the most important reasons to have a great relationship with your agent, is because, right, the agent needs to be knowledgeable. But as you look to grow in the industry, you have to make sure you can ensure that growth. And the way you know that is by having constant communication with your agent. Hey, I'm thinking about going into chemicals. What do you think about that? That's how you want to phrase these questions. Through your experience, what have you experienced with chemicals? Or what have you experienced with hazmat? Or what have you experienced with intermodal? Hey, I'm looking to move into the heavy haul space. What is your experience with that? They may be able to tell you not only coverages that you need. They may be able to tell you not only the good companies that you want to work with while doing that, and also who they can shop it to. But more importantly, they may even be able to tell you stories about things that happen with other companies and carriers, mistakes that they made or things that they did great. So you'd be surprised when you get your agent to open up, because this agent has wrote coverage for people over the years. They've seen the mistakes, the pitfalls, the positivity, the smart moves, things of that nature, that they can actually help you with, and they can navigate some things. You can have an accident and that agent may know a company that might not care as much about your lost runs. So it's just things that they know. I'm telling you, it's some tricks. Now, I'm a licensed agent myself. I did insurance. So with that being said, I understand the information that comes across their desk. And I also understand the value of that. And anybody who's a business owner that has done it at any level of success, they have been afforded information like that to say, hey, listen, you might want to go this way. Mm-hmm. There's some changes coming and this is beneficial for you. I think you'll be good over here. So some of those things is the reason why you want to have great relationships with your agent, but you also just want to have great relationships with people throughout the industry, because information flows and you want to be in the room when it flows.
Yes, sir. This is all relational. Transportation, logistics, trucking, 100% relational. So you definitely want to be invited, have access to those conversations to get that information. And with all the experience you have with access to insurance agents, and you already being a licensed agent yourself, are there any hard no's, you know, things that you're just not trying to get involved with, any places you won't take freight if it's heavy haul and all that kind of stuff, anything that you already have, you know, listed on your board? I'm not taking this. I'm not going there.
So me personally, because I still actively drive, I don't have any no's so far as me personally. But what I can say is drivers, owner operators, and just the people throughout my company, I do try to keep them out of the snow as much as possible. When it comes to snow, it's not about how good of a driver you are, because you could be doing everything right. Someone else could do something crazy. Mm-hmm. So I try to minimize that. I keep my drivers away from that as much as possible. Thank God I'm in the South, so it doesn't snow on my doorstep, my drivers either. But with that being said, so I try to stay away from that. Drivers who are not comfortable with oversize, I don't let them haul it. If they make a mistake, I take them off it. A lot of the drivers want to get to the oversized space. Most people that call me to become an owner operator with me or a driver, they're calling me specifically because they know of my knowledge in the industry and my ability to help them accomplish their goals. But they have to also understand that this is how I feed my family. So I can't allow them to come in and wreak havoc on what I have going on. You see what I'm saying? So yes, I do have to limit them sometimes and stuff like that. So they have to show me that they're real bright, they're intelligent, and they're focused on learning and doing things the right way. If they don't, then I consider them bad apples and I try to, you know, get them away from me completely or get them out of here totally. But other than that, off the top of my head, outside of that, what I've named, I can't think of anything that I kind of keep them away from. But I do allow them the space to grow. I just want them to take their time and do it the right way.
What's the right way for somebody to approach you if they were interested in joining the team? They said, hey, this guy got a lot of knowledge. I can learn under his tutelage. And I got, you know, spunk and I want to grow. What's the best way for them to approach you?
Look, it's funny you say that, right? So after I dropped the Trucking Hustle interview that I did with Ron Mel, man, people started Googling me, calling me, and I was like, this is the weirdest thing ever. But what I realized is, man, I can't say I would have did it any different if someone had something I felt like I wanted and I thought that they could help me. So I said all that to say, I mean, man, get in touch with me. I mean, other than show up on my doorstep, I don't really care. If you show up at the company and you sit there and wait on me for hours, when I get there, I'll respect it. I'll respect your grind and I'll do what I can. If you call me, I'll do what I can. I have some people hit me on LinkedIn. People get in touch with you in some of the weirdest ways. Now, the only thing that's totally off limits that I won't be dealing with you on is if you show up at my home, because that's where my family live. Don't make me feel uncomfortable. But other than that, man, if you call, text, DM, you name it, if you got to go under a post and say, hey, Joe, check your DM, you know, however you choose to do it, knock yourself out, because I respect everybody's grind. Like I said, just don't show up at my house and we're good.
Wait.
Look, and don't show up at my customer while I'm picking up my load, because I don't want them to think I'm crazy
right along with you. Look, I can't get no Uber Eats at my customer I'm delivering right now. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So I know that we're going to be winding this bad boy down. I mean, and again, you've been in the industry for quite some time, you know, forward looking to the future. In what ways do you see the heavy haul game changing with the improvements that's in technology, the improvements in our country's infrastructure, automation, AI, you know, so on and so forth? How do you see everything changing in the heavy haul space?
Man, that's a great question. It's a question I hadn't even thought about, honestly, to even have an answer for. But I'm going to take a shot in the dark, right? I don't see AI necessarily changing the heavy haul space immediately. The reason why is because it doesn't fit in a box where they can just say, hey, we're going to set a sensor here and it'll protect this. You know, like with a dry van, it's just a box. Everything fits inside. So they can kind of put sensors on it on the side, by the blinker, by the front, by the rear, on the top, and they know that it won't ever change shape or size. But with the heavy haul, I mean, man, we haul some loads. Excuse me, that is extremely tall, wide, or heavy. And I don't know. I kind of see that being hard for them to just capture right away. But I do think that we have some of the brightest people in this country, and I think they'll figure it out. So right now, no immediate change for heavy haul, but I do see dry van changing tremendously. I think they'll get to that self-driving space way sooner than any other sector of trucking. Same thing with chemicals. I mean, anybody knows about chemicals, they know that there's a surge. And it's like, how do you prepare for that surge? As a person, we've trained and understand that it's coming. But I mean, other than that, man, it's crazy. But I'm excited to see what they do. You know, I fought technology for the longest. And then, you know, when I realized it's coming anyway. So go ahead and learn, be abreast, attach yourself to it, and go up with it. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to what happens.
Yes, sir. You got to embrace it, because there's no way to stop it. You got to embrace the change, man. You got to embrace the change. Anything that we didn't talk about that you know, any updates, any announcement, anything like that?
Yes. Glad you asked. So I'm about to do something in the trucking industry that hasn't been done on the level that I plan to do it on. A lot of people do it privately, individually within their own companies. But I want to take this thing, so to speak, to show on the road. So what I'm looking to do, 2025, what I'm planning right now, and I put some time into this, man. So all the competition, y'all take a step back. Y'all not going to be as prepared as I am, right? But so 2025, or let me say this, 2024, I will be traveling all over the U.S., truck shows, events, promoting, putting it out there. And in 2025, I'm looking to host the first ever award show for truckers.
What?
Where we give out awards on a level of what companies have done competitively. Companies compete already. That's why we track numbers. The purpose of tracking numbers is the purpose of making sure that you're staying competitive even with yourself from year to year. But I also want to do it with companies across the board. So I have been talking to different companies. They all seem excited. I'm excited. So I want to put us all in a room, and then we all, you know, we laugh, we drink, we have a good time, great entertainment. And man, I think it's going to be the greatest thing ever. I got some people I'm talking with behind the scenes, but more importantly, I'm going to bring everybody to New Orleans, man. I want y'all to come down and have a great time, enjoy some good food, some good music, and pick up an award while you're here. I'm doing that award show. If you walk through the doors, all you have to do is walk through the door with a ticket that you purchase. Not a ticket that you may have got complimentary, but a ticket that you purchase. and your name going ahead to win a brand new truck.
What?
Yeah. So all you got to do is walk through the door, buy a ticket, walk through the door, and that night we're gonna give away a brand new truck to someone.
Free what?
It's their truck. Yeah.
What? Hey, brother, this is big stuff.
Yeah.
This is big stuff. This is like you said. Who's done this? Nobody's done this.
Nobody. So we talking to the state. Well, we want them to get involved. We want them to give away the truck in connection with Safe Drive Award. But at the same time, it's just going to be an attendance thing. If you're in the building, you have a chance to win. But we do want them to be in the building as well. Kind of give us some tips on things that they're looking for, things that they want to see us do better, make changes. And then just invite everybody in, man. I don't want nobody to feel left out. I want everyone to feel welcome, feel included. I understand drivers might not like DOT, and DOT may or may not have feelings toward drivers. I don't know. But the reality is, man, it's time for us to get under one roof, learn from each other, accept challenges, step up to the plate and compete on a level where, you know, it makes it competitive. If I had a great year, I want to share that year with everybody, not to look down on them, but to look motivational to them. I want them to see what's possible for them as well. And the only way you do that is by putting us in a room and we're having that conversation. And we're going to have that conversation at a war show, man. We're going to have comedy, entertainment. I mean, you name it. I want to grow it into a weekend of fun for everybody to come to my city. Let me bring you here. Let me host you. And you have a good time and you go home looking forward to the next year.
Yes, sir. Look, man, I'm looking forward to that myself. And please let me know how I can help. I'd be very excited to support. I hadn't been to the NO in a while. Like I said, I grew up going there as a kid, but you know, it'll give me a good reason to go there and see my nieces and nephews. So that's fun, man. That's big time. And again, anything that I can do to help, you've been on all these platforms, you know, all these people in the industry. So people are naturally rooting for what you're doing. But again, anything I can do to help, I'm very happy to. So thank you for sharing that here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's dope, brother.
Yeah, so this is what I'm going to do before you go, though. All press people will have an opportunity to get a press pass. So anybody doing any news media, podcasting in the industry, y'all will have an opportunity to get a press pass at a very cheap price. So
gotcha.
It's like $25, you know, just to get your pass. And that's just for me to create the pass and, you know, make it available for you guys. So there's no profit in that. It's just, hey, create a badge that you guys can use to get in out and be a part of the show. And if y'all want to take a shot at winning, we also going to offer 2 raffle tickets max, because we don't want it about raffle, but we do want the people who came in the building, so to speak, to work, to have a shot as well at the truck. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
But other than that, yeah, so it'll be great. I'll stay in touch with everyone. I'm a creative page just for it. Right now I'm just garnering information to make the award show be as authentic as possible and have actual numbers in order to make it the awards be, you know, as genuine as possible as well. So
yes, sir.
Yep. Yes, so sir. I look forward to it, man. So I appreciate you having me on, man. Anybody on that haven't had a chance to look at my page, I'm Joe Gipp, JOEGIPP, Heavy Hard Giant on IG. I do have a YouTube, but I don't put a lot of content on, man. I'm just so busy. I really don't have the time sometimes to create full-fledged videos for YouTube. But I need to do better in that space, so I will.
But again, appreciate you, my guy. Any closing remarks? I just want to make sure that you've been able to say everything that you wanted to say. And because, again, that's big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, man, shout out to my team. Shout out to everybody who works with me, Ray. My girl Paris, she's a dispatcher, Quantum. She dispatch. Basically, I think everything except for Hotshot, I want to say. So check out Quantum Logistics. Man, everybody, man. Look, shout out to everybody. That's why I hate calling names, because you can't think of names on the spot. Your mind fumble. But anyway, shout out to my lovely wife, my family, for everything that they do, accepting, hey, you know, my time away, you know, my hard work, my grind, my frustration at times. So shout out to my lovely wife, my kids, my mom, everybody, man. So, and I appreciate you having me on, man. So, hey, let me know if it's something I can do for you as well.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And as we close, I did want to give a huge shout out to my sponsor, AI software who is helping brokerages of all sizes streamline their processes and scale their businesses. So whether you're a broker specializing in full truckload or LTL, they have a solution for you. Tell them that Jory sent you their way. So again, I appreciate you, brother. Everybody be blessed and tune in next time. Be blessed, everybody.
Salute.